Public hearing on Senate Bill 1026A. Janet, can you give us a rundown, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 1026 was introduced and sponsored by Senator Charles Starr. It passed the Senate on a vote of 21-4. The bill would require an insurer that covers hospital, medical, and surgical expenses to provide biennial, or as a physician determines, prostate cancer screening examinations, establishes that the test is required for men eligible for a coverage for men who are age 50 or older, and for men younger than 50 who are at risk for prostate cancer. Mr. Chair, it applies to policies issued on or after the effective date of the act. And I understand that Senator Starr is gone to the doctor, and Senator George is here to speak to the bill.
Thank you, Janet. Senator George, please. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Good to be with you. Good morning. For the record, my name is State Senator Gary George, representing District 12. Charles is headed off for an examination himself, not this examination, but so what they did is they looked for a person who is balding and with glasses, and that happened to me. And a person who has recognition of how important that is for this screening. You folks will notice, if you go back and look at my voting record, that many of these mandates I have opposed, but this one I'm going to tell you is so critical because it can have such an enormous cost, not only to the system for the amount of money that will be paid to treat it, but also for the families who find family members who are in a situation of fighting prostate cancer. Both my grandfather and my dad passed away because of the effect of prostate cancer. So in my family, it's very serious, and I make sure that I take advantage of all those tests. The sad part is that many people do not have that recognition of the need for it, and therefore many times find themselves in a situation in which the cancer has progressed to such a level that, in fact, they cannot survive. So I hope you guys will look at this. I think it's a good bill. And like you say, for a person who normally doesn't favor these kind of mandates, I'm here today to tell you this is a very serious issue and can bring a lot of grief to a family. So I urge your support for Senate Bill 1026.
Thank you, Senator. And I'm of that age. I share some of those concerns, too. I've had a number of very good friends that found out about that they had prostate cancer too late, and when it can be treated if it's found early enough. These screenings are very important.
Exactly right, and we're so fortunate today to be living in a time in which the screening can be done, you know, so efficiently. And when we put the cost into the equation, and we analyze, you know, early treatment, early diagnosis, or extended treatment and loss of that individual, I mean, I think society makes a decision that you must go for early testing. And here we're targeting this at an age group in which the problem, you know, becomes evident. So urge your support.
I had a family doctor once tell me a few years ago that it's not a matter whether you'll get prostate cancer, it's when. And if you live long enough, you'll get prostate cancer if you're a male.
I watched a documentary, then they said if you're a male and you live to be 85, you will, in fact, have it. It's just the rate of progression of the cancer.
Thank you. Any questions, Senator? Thank you again, Senator, for your testimony. Senator Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Senator Jeff Cruz, Senate District 1, and I believe you should have a copy of a letter from Luther Finch provided to you by Senator Starr. Senator Starr had a doctor's appointment, so he couldn't be here, asked me to come and speak in support of this bill. It's interesting because I voted against it, but
so noted.
But I want to tell you for the record on the committee why I voted against it. It wasn't necessarily against the prostate screening. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 insurance mandates in the state now. When we went into the mandate business, one of the things we did was put in the provision to review the mandates on a periodic basis every 6 years. And the reason I voted against this is because they removed the sunset, which doesn't prevent us from looking at it every 6 years, but doesn't make it so we automatically look at it every 6 years. I argued for that, and so it's just more, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, a matter of the process. And part of the reason for having a sunset on a mandate is that technology and science and medicine change over time, and I think it's prudent that we take a look at what we are mandating and see if they're the right procedures anymore, number one. So I would agree with Senator George in his statements, and with you, Mr. Chair, that it's not a matter of if but when for most men. This probably does make some sense, but I guess it was, from my perspective, a break in faith with what we had done for all other mandates that caused me to be one of the no votes on the bill. But just for the record, Senator Starr is very passionate about this, as are a whole lot of other folks. And as you can see, there were very few no votes in the Senate on it. This puts me in a strange position to be here advocating for a bill I voted against, but I wanted to let you folks know the reason, and it's more of a process reason than a content reason. So I'd be willing to answer any questions.
Thank you, Senator. What length of time do they have you?
Most of our insurance mandates have a 6-year sunset on them.
6 years.
And, and it's reasonable because technology does change over time. You know, there's nothing without the sunset to prevent us from going back and taking another look if things change. But this has been kind of a standard practice for all the years we've been in the mandate business. And, you know, I mean, we could get into arguments over the cost of mandates and whether they're appropriate and all these other things. And admittedly, a lot of the things that are on the books as mandates are part of current practice for most carriers anyway. But, do we find ourselves mandating one treatment modality or one exam modality only to find a few years later that there's something better out there? And so we're mandating maybe not best science. So from that perspective, I thought it was appropriate that we keep the sunset in it. Of all of the mandates that are on the books, when the sunset has come up for review, we never removed any of those mandates. But as a policy body, it requires us to take a look at what we have required to see if it's still appropriate. So that was it.
Was the sunset discussed? Do you know?
It was discussed, and it was on the record in this, because I was on the Senate committee that passed this out, and I discussed it, I think, both in committee on the record and on the floor. My concern that we are kind of stepping away from standard practice in this body. So,
thank you, Senator. Any questions? Representative Holden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I need a dictionary. I'm not really sure. I noticed in the Senate amendments it says biennially, and,
right.
And the staff major summary says biannually, and the engrossed, I think, I'm just wondering whether this is every 2 years or twice a year.
It was every 2 years.
10, 20.
Because the staff major summary says biannually, and I think that's twice a year.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's incorrect. So
just here.
I don't think that's the way. No, it wasn't a twice a year thing. It was an every other year thing. But also there's flexibility in that, Representative Hovely, due to the fact that if your physician determines you're high risk, he can require the screens whenever he wants. So
okay.
But just as a standard practice, if you're not a high-risk person, to go through something that invasive twice a year would not be fun, I wouldn't think. But, I'm 53, and I decided when I turned 50, I'd wait till I was 54. So it's coming up on me.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Thank you, Senators. Any other questions? Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else that would like to testify? I want to see you add Courtney Dresser, please.
Good morning. My name is Courtney Dresser. I'm the Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society, and I'm here on Senate Bill 1026. I have written testimony that I will not read, but I wanted to clarify a couple things. It's my understanding, some of us were talking back there, that the amendment that you have does put the sunset back in, because that was mentioned during the Senate committee. It doesn't. You're not even.
Is there some amendments? We don't seem to have any.
There was some dash one amendments that I believe should have put the sunset back in. Everybody was supportive of that concept. So, just that FYI, that if it's not there, that's okay to put in. The other issue is that, as advocates like ourselves, American Society, if things do change and best practices change, that we would be back here to fix the statute if need be, even before the six-year sunset, just so that is on the record, too. The other issue about this is that these exams do regularly happen for men with health insurance in Oregon, but more importantly, what these type of laws do when we put it in statute is it's a public awareness campaign in its own, that we start to get men thinking about their health care, what they need to be talking about with their doctors. And that's one of the reasons we want to try that we work on these bills. It's because it is important that men talk to their doctors about their health care and what needs to happen at certain ages and what screenings need to happen. And if this legislation will make sure that that happens and that men begin talking to the doctors about their health care, their screenings, what needs to be happening at what age, then we're very supportive of this legislation.
Yeah. Thank you, Courtney. Any questions, Courtney? I don't see anyone. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to testify on Senate Bill 1026A? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1026A, and there seems to be a question as to where some lost amendments have went, and we will not move to work this bill today, and hoping that we have the opportunity to see it again in the future and address some amendments to it. And with that, I'll open. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 670A. And morning, Senator Janet. Can you give us a?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 670 would change. Mr. Chair, it was sponsored at the request of Senator Walker. It passed the Senate 27-0. It would change the wording, if you see on the top of page 2, that quality treatment standards will be prescribed by the director of DCBS to be reviewed and approved by the director of DCBS. And the other change, Mr. Chair, is to allow on page 3 to allow attending physicians to advocate for medical services and temporary disability benefits for the injured worker if those benefits are supported by the medical records. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Janet. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I haven't seen you since breakfast. It's nice to see you again. I'm Senator Vicki Walker from Eugene, and I'm here on Senate Bill 670 because this is one of my workers' comp reform bills. This one's a pretty simple one compared to what we had in committee last night that we've been working on for months and months. Mr. Chair, the reason this bill comes about is because I've been contacted by many constituents over the last nearly 2 years, and all of us have been contacted by constituents about workers' comp issues, I'm sure. And these constituents, when they are in the workers' comp system, they have to subscribe to the managed care organization. And I was finding that benefits and treatment seemed to be different for an injured worker than they were for other regular folks like you and I, who participated in a managed care organization. In fact, it was so egregious that one injured worker had asked, the managed care organization had, SAFE had denied her claim, stating that she had violated the terms of the contract of the MCO. So she asked through her attorney to see a copy of the MCO and was denied because they said the MCO contract is proprietary. So, Mr. Chair, I intervened and I asked for a copy of the contract, and it took several weeks in the Department of Justice intervening for me to get a copy of the contract because it's proprietary information, and I really can't even share it with you today, but I can read to you a part of it that disturbed me and led me to draft Senate Bill 670. The contract states that attending physicians will not act as benefit advocates. And then it lists several things that the physician cannot do, and if they do, they're in violation of the contract. Well, I really didn't like the way that was worded, so I had Senate Bill 670 drafted. We worked on the language in the Senate. The one MCO that is under contract with SAFE Corporation agreed to the language. We make it very clear now that attending physicians can do what they're required to do as physicians. And one of the issues that came about was on page 3 of the bill, the bold section that we're adding, there was a question as to what temporary disability benefits are, and those are simply time loss benefits, and so those are allowed under the law anyway. So, Mr. Chair, we've cleaned up the language. SAFE Corporation, after I brought this to their attention and brought the bill forward, Mr. Davey took a second look at that contract that they have with the MCO, and in light of this legislation and the wording that I brought to their attention, they plan on renegotiating that contract when the time is up and changing that language, because it's important that our injured workers be treated the same as all other folks who need to see a physician.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any questions? Don't see any. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will say that IMLAC did not object to this legislation, if any of you care about that. Some of us have different opinions about IMLAC being a mini legislature or being an advisory group, but just for your information, IMLAC did not object to this legislation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there anyone else to testify on Senate Bill 670? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 670A and open a work session on Senate Bill 670A. Representative Kitts.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 670A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves Senate Bill 670A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Katie, call the roll.
Representative. Aye.
Representative
Gilman.
Aye.
Representative Colby.
Aye.
Representative Pick.
Aye.
Representative Shockley. Excuse.
Representative
Hugh. Aye. Chair Brown. Aye. Motion carries. Representative Kitts.
Mr. Chair, I would move 678 of the consent calendar.
Representative Kitts moves 670A be placed on the consent calendar. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Let's see, we'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 573A. For the purpose of possible reconsideration. That'd be in work session. All right. Okay, we'll open a work session, close the public hearing on Senate Bill 573, and open a work session on Senate Bill 573. Representative Escobar, we need a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on SB 573.
Representative Esquivel moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 573. We pass Senate Bill, our House Bill 573 to the floor
with a due pass
recommendation. Since that meeting, there are there were any objections to
Mr. Chair,
Senate Bill 573, the 84 amendments that were adopted after it passed out of committee, there was a missing word in the -484 amendments, and so now today you have the -85 amendments that correct that mistake. The missing word is on line 4 of the A5s, if you have them, and the word credit was missing from the amendment, previous amendment that the committee adopted. That's the reason for the reconsideration.
Are there any objections to Representative Esquivel's motion to suspend the rules?
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
I haven't found the A5. What is the word?
The word is credit.
Okay. And this is in the
A5?
The A5.
For Senate Bill 573.
Here's what we adopted. Customers' history instead of in customers' business.
Yeah, I can live with that.
Is there any objection to suspension of the rules? Seeing none, suspended. Okay. Representative Esquivel, make that motion.
Yes, Mr. Chair, having voted for the prevailing side, I move that we reconsider the vote and what we passed House Bill Senate Bill 573A.
Representative Esquivel moves we reconsider the vote by which we pass House Bill 573A. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And so now we're in a work session to adopt the A5s.
Substitute A5. Yeah.
Substitute A5 for A4.
Yeah. Representative Kitts.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the... do you want me to move out the A4s and move in the A5s, or just move in the A5s and they'll supersede it? Then I would move that we substitute the A5s for the A4s.
Representative Kitts moves that we substitute the A5 amendments for the A4 amendments to House to Senate Bill 573. Is there any discussion? Any objection? They are adopted. So we send it to the floor again.
And rescind the referral to Ways and Means.
Mr. Chairman, I would move we rescind the referral to Ways and Means and move Senate Bill 573 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves that we rescind the referral to Ways and Means on Senate Bill 573 and send it to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Katie, will you call the roll, please?
Aye.
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 Rep. Schaffer is excused.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Placed on the consent calendar. Is there any objection? Representative Kitt.
Mr. Chair, I would place 573A as amended to the consent calendar.
Representative Kitts moves Senate Bill 573 as amended to the floor on the consent calendar. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 618A. It's a work session. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 618A. Janet?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 618 is the workplace breastfeeding bill. The hearing on this bill was held on May 20th. There were objections to the bill by Associated Oregon Industries. Proponents of the bill spoke Dr. Lace, Representative Rosenbaum. Right. And before you today are the -A5 amendments that the proponents of the bill, realizing objections of the Associated Oregon Industries and others, have the -A5 amendments. They've been hand engrossed into the bill, so you can see that they take out the mandates, all of the mandates under the bill. They take out one of the findings of the economic findings, and they take out the word breastfeed on the employer efforts to provide locations and times, take out the word breastfeeding, but leave the word expressing milk. There is a requirement that the employee notify the employer of the employee's intent to express milk upon returning to work.
Representative Kitts.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move the -A5 amendments into Senate Bill 618.
Representative Kitts moves the Dash A5 amendments into Senate Bill 618. Is there any discussion? Representative Holby.
Mr. Chair, I will object to these A5, these changes to the bill. It seems like this waters it down and makes this somewhat of an optional requirement for employers. However, I still will vote for the bill, but I do object to these amendments. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion? Would the proponents of the measure like to talk to the A5s or make any statements? They're open. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chair Brown, representatives, my name is Diane Garrett. I am from Portland, Oregon, and a volunteer with Nursing Mothers Council of Oregon. These changes are proposed in response to objections from the bill, from Associated Oregon Industries, and concerns from members on this committee. So we are in good faith trying to keep the bill on topic and still raise public awareness about the urgency to raise Oregon's breastfeeding rates and to start thinking about how we can protect women in the workplace so that more babies can be breastfed. So we feel that this is not all that we had hoped for, but we are certainly amenable to moving it forward in this form.
Thank you. Thank you for your
happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Don't see any. Thank you for your comments. Is there any objection or comments from the committee? Seeing none, Katie, will you call the roll?
Mr. Chair, are we voting?
This is on the Dash 5, to adopt the Dash 5.
You vote no.
No.
Aye.
Excuse.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The A5s are adopted. Representative Kitts.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 618 as adopted to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves Senate Bill 618 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Kitts.
I would just like to publicly thank Diane Garrett for her work on this bill. She's worked diligently, and although it may not be everything they'd hoped for, it is a step in the right direction, so thank you.
Thank you, Representative, and I certainly echo those comments. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, Katie, call the roll, please.
Aye.
Excuse.
Aye.
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 Chair Brown. Aye. Motion carries. Representative Rosenbaum will carry the bill on the floor for us. And
oh, tempting as it is.
Let's see. We did 573. Okay. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3462. Representative Kitts.
Chair, I'd move House Bill 3462 to the Committee on Budget with no recommendation at this time, as there are amendments that I wouldn't ask the committee to recommend the bill in its current form. There are amendments that will be coming that will be done in the Budget Committee. So I would move 3462 to the Committee on Budget with no recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves House Bill 3462 to the Committee on Budget without recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Katie, call the roll, please. Excuse?
No.
Aye.
Representative Gilman? Aye.
Representative
Holby? No.
Representative
Kitts? Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. The bill is referred to the Committee on Budget. Open a work session on Senate Bill 118A. Janet?
shunned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 118A was the bill regarding homeowners insurance. On Wednesday was the hearing. There was no opposing testimony. This is a bill that was put together by the Insurance Division and a number of stakeholders, including the insurance industry. If you recall that you had the Dash A6 amendments, the reason the bill was held over was because most people had just gotten the amendments the afternoon before or that morning and wanted one last chance to make sure that they didn't contain anything that they were opposed to. Mr. Chair, just briefly, the bill contains a right to know about claims history on a property, limits a look-back period. It creates new standards for canceling and for non-renewal of a homeowner insurance policy. It says you cannot be canceled for a first claim or for making an or penalized for an inquiry about inquiry about a potential claim, and it talks about a way to mitigate something that was in a previous claim, and again you have the Dash A6 amendments. I've not heard anything, and I'm not sure if the agency's heard any objections or any objections to raise this morning about the Dash A6 amendments.
Thank you, Janet. Is there anyone that would like to testify on the A6 amendments? Everybody happy then? I see at least one nodding head, Representative Kitts.
Mr. Chairman, since everyone is so happy, I would move the A6 amendments into Senate Bill 118, and only because everyone is so happy.
Representative Kitts moves the Dash 6 amendments to Senate Bill 118. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, to order. Representative Kitts.
I would move Senate Bill 118 as amended to the floor. With the due pass recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves Senate Bill 118 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Katie, call the roll, please.
Representative
Excuse.
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Gelman.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. We need a carrier. Representative Escobar will carry the bill on the floor for us. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 386A. Janet, please. Again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 386A had a hearing on May 18th. The bill was sponsored by the Senate General Government Committee. Senate vote 29-1. You have the A5 amendments. This bill is the one that deals with permanent disability and return to work, and the VCBS is prepared today to walk through those amendments for you on the bill.
Please, somebody from DCBS, there they are.
Mr.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jerry Manahan. I'm the Deputy Administrator of the Workers' Compensation Division. I'm here today to request your support of Senate Bill 386 and the Dash A5 amendment. John Schultz testified before this committee on May 18th, and basically the bill addresses permanent total disability benefits for injured workers under the workers' comp system. And the bill changes the wage threshold that's used in determining whether or not a person is permanently and totally disabled. And it also has a provision that addresses the process that's used in rescinding a worker's permanent total disability benefits. During that hearing, Mr. Schultz advised you that after this bill passed out of the Senate, the Management Labor Advisory Committee found a couple areas that they felt needed to be changed to meet the intent of the bill. And the Dash A5 amendments reflect the agreements that the committee had. I'll just kind of walk you through. There's five major points that they tried to address to clarify the bill. The first area is the actual definition of gainful occupation. And what the bill says is that a gainful occupation would be one that pays a worker 66 2/3% of the wage they held at injury, or an amount equal to the United States Department of Health and Human Services Federal Poverty Guideline. And it'd be the lesser of those amounts would be set the threshold to determine whether or not a worker could do gainful employment. That threshold currently is $1,340.83. And there's a chart attached to the handout that I gave you that kind of shows how that formula would work for people who may not have had a history of working full-time, may not have worked a full year prior to their injury. The second area that the A5 amendments address is adding a definition of material improved vocationally. This is used the threshold in reevaluating a person who is permanently totally disabled. There would need to be a demonstration that there's an actual change for the better in a worker's vocational capability or the likelihood that the worker can return to work in a gainful and suitable occupation. The third area that the amendment addresses is adding a requirement there has to be at least one report where the author of the report personally examined or interviewed the injured worker when determining whether or not the worker is permanently totally disabled. This would be in contrast to maybe just a paper file review. Another area that's being clarified was for establishing the gainful employment threshold. This would be for new injuries because as the federal poverty guideline will change and probably increase over the years, this provision adds that cost of living adjustment to that worker's wages as the federal poverty increases as well, so the two levels would increase at the same level. And the last point in the amendment strictly clarifies the applicability of this bill to show that the new provisions will apply to permanent total disability evaluations for all claims, regardless of date of injury, after the effective date of the Act, which would be January 1, 2006. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Gary. Any questions? I don't see any. Must have answered every question to their satisfaction. Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else here to testify on Senate Bill 386 or to the amendments, A5 amendments? Seeing none, we'll... we weren't in public hearing. We're in a work session, right? Okay. We'll... I'd entertain a motion.
We'll adopt A5.
A5, yes. Yes.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we append the A5 amendments to Senate Bill 386. Janet just dropped her watch.
On my toe. Qualify for work or don't?
Back, bring him back up here, would you, Mr. Chair?
Now, what do you do?
I recommend we append the A5 amendments to Senate Bill 386.
Representative Esquivel moves the A5 amendments to Senate Bill 386. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, adopted. Representative Esquivel.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I recommend we send Senate Bill 386 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Esquivel moves Senate Bill 386 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Katie, will you call the roll, please?
Representative
Esquivel. Aye.
Representative
Esquivel.
Aye.
Aye.
Excuse? Aye. Motion carries. We should probably have a carrier. Any volunteers?
Okay.
Representative Kitts will carry the bill on the floor for us. And we'll stand at ease here for a couple minutes as I get first aid.
this bill does have the sunset on it.
It does have it on there.
Right, so I don't know if
you want to step back. Yeah, we'll move it. Yeah. We have an amendment for it?
No, it's already in there. But I dropped the book. I had the place here and I dropped the book. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. Jeff Coons looked at the wrong SMS. That is subject to the 6 years appeal.
What is it saying in the middle?
It isn't in the.
Business, Labor, and Consumer Affairs Committee, and we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1026. Janet?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you do want to talk about Senate Bill 1026, again, you'll need to do a suspension of the rules, et cetera, but I can explain the issue.
Okay.
Not that
fine. Broke the equipment.
Move to adjourn.
Do we start over again?
Just like the Nixon tapes.
Yeah. 18 minutes of erased tape.
Okay, we need a suspension of the rules to reconsider Representative Kitts.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we do just that.
Representative Kitts moves that we suspend the rules for the purpose of reconsidering Senate Bill 1026. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the rules are suspended. And now I can open a...
You can open a work session.
Okay. Representative Kitts moves that we reconsider Senate Bill 1026.
That's exactly what I do.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Katie, call the roll on the motion to reconsider.
You like that? I blocked you.
Representative
Vasquez.
Aye. Representative
Gilman. Aye.
Representative
Colby.
Aye.
I'm not sure we have to do this.
Representative Shaw.
Excuse me.
Aye.
Hi. Well, carried. Now I can open the work session. I open a work session on Senate Bill 1026A. Janet, can you explain to us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point out that another astute committee administrator that had this bill in the Senate, Rick Rakobian, pointed out that the sunset actually is in Senate Bill 1026A. There's a statute 742-700 that's an automatic repeal of certain statutes on individual and group health, saying that any statute that becomes effective after July 13, 1985 is repealed on the 6th anniversary of the effective date of the statute, unless the assembly specifically provides otherwise, and those are mandates. So Senate Bill 1026, the original version, said this section is not subject, the new prostate screen is not subject to 743-700. The Senate amended the bill to take out that section, saying it's not subject, so it automatically is subject to 742-700. So that's the way the sunset works, and it doesn't appear in 1026A, but it's by virtue of another statute that automatically sets that up.
Thank you, Janet. Representative Kitts.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1026A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves Senate Bill 1026A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Yes.
Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to get on the record that I do find it a little frustrating that we are moving something on prostate screening today when we stopped something on breast screening last night. I will be voting yes, but I wanted to get that concern on the record.
Thank you, Representative. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Kitts.
For clarification on Representative Shields' point to the breast screening, I think it was simply put to a conference committee for further discussion and not stopped. Maybe delayed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Delay is in the eye of the beholder.
Any other comments? Seeing none, Katie, will you call the roll, please?
Aye.
Representative Kitts.
Aye.
They're going to be a 50.
Excuse.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, is it the intent of the chair to not hear 638 in light of the new amendments?
We could go. Actually, no. I intend to. My intent would be to go ahead here and adopt those amendments and send it to the floor.
Or not adopt the amendments.
Or not. Yeah.
But here, put the amendments after.
Yeah. Right. For consideration.
My concern before we take this last vote is I would like before the vote is taken to stand at ease for just a second and allow me to run down and get Representative Shoffler to vote on the bills that he's missed before
sure.
We adjourn.
You bet.
Mr.
That'd be fine. Oh, we got a page.
Okay.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we need a motion to place 1026 on the consent calendar, right?
So moved.
Representative Escobar moves Senate Bill 1026 amended to be placed on the consent calendar. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, it is. And we'll stand at ease until Representative Shoffler gets here. That might be it. Reconvene the Committee on Business, Labor, and Consumer Affairs and open a work session on Senate Bill 638.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Kitts.
Is it the intent? My understanding is that the Dash 2 amendments are Representative Holby's amendments. My question to Representative Holby is, are you proposing that we substitute the Dash 2s for the Dash 1s or in conjunction with the Dash 1s?
I am of the opinion that we just need the Dash 2 and not the Hand and Gross Dash 1.
Could we ask the Senator to come forward?
Sure. Senator Deckard, would help.
May I ask a question?
Oh, sure. Senator, have you looked at the Dash 1s and Dash 2s?
I'm familiar with Ryan Deckard, Senate District 14. I'm familiar with Representative Holvey's amendments. I don't prefer them. It's better than nothing to me because my concern has always been that you have an agency that is forced to take someone back. Representative Holvey's amendment at least helps give them some discretion, but as I said in the previous hearing, I believe in a more at-will environment in general for employment, and so that's what the original bill does. And as Representative Shoffler indicated me in the garage of the state capitol in one of those conversations, that, and I agreed with him, let's take a, my sentiment would be, let's allow what I would think of as a normal working environment that we're so familiar with to occur, and in 2 or 3 years, if we've had some bad experience with it, I'd be willing to take another look at it, but I'd much prefer to go to where you don't have this restoration policy in place at all, which to me is just not a good policy. But I guess I'd take Representative Holvey's amendment if that was what it takes to move the bill.
Mr. Chair?
I'll go this way first. Representative Gitz.
I was actually before the chair, just so you know.
I'd like
seniority. See it on tape. Freshman. Senator, the you were fine with the dash ones, correct?
No.
Originally?
No.
I like the bill as it was.
I concur with you. I as well like the bill as it was. I just was unfamiliar. Who brought forward the dash ones? Do you recall?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. I'll
Senator, I concur with you. I will not support the dash twos. I think that although I understand the intent of the representative by his dash twos, it's my opinion that the dash twos undermine the intent of the bill. So if the dash twos are to be considered, somebody else will have to make the motion, number one, but I will be voting against the dash twos and the dash ones.
Representative Holvey.
Well, I would thank you, Mr. Chair. I would hope that I'd be able to at least to explain the dash twos a little bit before we come to a final decision on this. But you know, my opinion is that the dash twos actually reflect the private sector and reflect the ability of an employer to make the decision. And my concern basically is that the Senate Bill 638, without any amendments to it, takes away the ability of the employer to restore a manager who may be a very valuable resource that maybe just doesn't want to do the manager job and is in fact an important and valuable employee to the agency. So I think the Dash 2 amendment actually does reflect the real world as such in the private sector of giving the employer the option of whether or not they want to keep a particular employee in a different position. And so I think, or gives the employer the ability to say, we don't want to keep this employer. We've taken away what seems to have been discerned as a right to restoration. Dash 2 amendment does not give anybody a right to restoration, but it does leave the decision at the discretion of the agency whether they want to restore somebody or not. And so just as in the case of me as a carpenter, they make me a superintendent and I don't want to handle the stress, but I'm still a great carpenter, they could put me back into that carpenter position. And if they have too many positions as carpenters, then the boss could say, well, we're going to have to lay somebody off. And that may not be me. It may be somebody else that was just newly hired. And I think this is a better management of our employee resources than Senate Bill 638. So I actually would move the Dash 2 amendments.
Is that a motion?
I think it was.
All right. Representative Holvey moves the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 638. Is there any discussion? Representative Kitts, and then Representative.
Probably just absolutely,
I believe,
stunning.
I had my hand up.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate the representative's arguments, and I watched Senator Deckard in his time of contentious disagreements, and he's always smooth under fire, not nearly as abrasive as I. I'm learning, Senator, gradually. It is my belief that it's a requirement to, it is not a right to go back. It is an option. And I think that as the Senator has brought forward in this bill, it doesn't prohibit these folks from being rehired in a former position or any other position. It just says that you can't automatically go from here right back without anything. It doesn't say you can't go from here back and apply for your job back. And quite frankly, if going through the application process, you're not the most qualified or the best qualified for that position, you shouldn't get it. Because as a state taxpayer, I want the best people working for this state, and just because somebody took a promotion going up or a different position going up and wants to go back, that's a leap of faith you take. You take that leap of faith in everyday life, and I think that that's what the senator's getting at, is saying, hey, you can reapply. And if you're the most qualified, you'll get the job right back. But he just doesn't guarantee it. So I'm in dead support of the senator's bill and will be voting no on the dash twos, even after the eloquent explanation and clarification.
Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I told Senator Decker that I would support the bill, even though I did have some reservations that there might be difficulty in bringing somebody back. I didn't realize at that time that Senator Holvey was going to have the dash twos, and I got to tell you, I'm convinced by his argument. I think the that providing some option, it seems to be a good middle ground between where DAS is and where the good representative from Hillsborough is and yourself. So I will be supporting the dash twos.
Mr. Chair.
Senator?
Just one thought. My only, because I want this situation, and I apologize for bringing what wasn't a contentious bill in the Senate that became a little bit of a contentious bill.
We're not very well behaved.
I don't, on Representative Holvey's situation, I want that to be able to occur. I just don't want it in state statute. I don't want it. I don't think it belongs in state statute for us to be telling agencies how they must direct managers' jobs. And so if you have a good person that they would like to rehire who got themselves in a position that didn't work out, they could still obviously go back and hire. You had two willing parties. You had a good worker and a manager that wanted them, and you could still get them. But we would not have in state statutes rules governing how that would occur. And to me, I just that's where my discomfort is that we would put in the state statutes direction on how you would have that flow of employees, and that's, I guess, my chief objection. Though, like I said, it's better that now they don't have to, at least with Representative Colby's amendment, they don't have to take the person, which is the status quo.
Representative Holden.
Mr. Chair, I just want to, I think that we should probably call up DAS to this, because I think Representative Kitts is wrong, and perhaps I'm not going to say that the senator is wrong in assuming that the agency has the ability to take somebody back with this bill. I do not think that they do. The only way a person that is moving out of management can get rehired is if they go through an application process. And that may not occur. And so, to me, that is not managing your resources of your employees correctly, when in fact you may be keeping some people with less seniority, keeping some people that may not be quite as skilled at a particular job, and you're letting go a very valuable resource. So I think that Senate Bill 638 takes the ability of the agency away to keep a valued employee that is an important and valued resource to the state of Oregon. And I think we need to let the employer have the discretion. And I think that's what the Dash 2 amendments would do. And I would hope that we could get somebody from DAS in here to speak to this, because I think we're making a mistake here. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Kitts.
I think Representative Holley just did a wonderful job of answering his own question. If, in fact, somebody moves up, it doesn't guarantee they come back, but the bill does not prohibit them from going through the application process for an old job or any other job. It doesn't prohibit it.
Could get a third opinion.
Ms. Wilson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Susan Wilson. I'm Administrator of Human Resource Services Division, Human Resources for the State of Oregon Department of Administrative Services. I want to respectfully say, in relation to Senator Decker's last comment about not having in the statutes how we manage our employees, that we have several chapters of current law which specifically tell us how we can go through a hiring process, who can be hired, how we have to make decisions, how jobs are classified. We also have from the legislature position authority for which we cannot exceed or go outside of. So to say that someone is removed and they can go apply for their old job back, they can't. That job may not be open. The agency may want them back. The agency may have to find another position, but they can't just say, because I come and knock on the door and say I'd like to reapply for my position, to allow you to do that. We are under very strict limitations. I would be very happy to have much more if we could have a private sector where we don't have to, where we can manage our resources, the types of positions that we have, but we are under both legal and legislative constraints to be able to do that.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kitts.
You're telling me that if somebody gets promoted, they don't like it, they want to go back down or go to another job, that they can't apply for it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kitts, unless that job is vacant, open, and available, you're correct. No.
Okay.
Cannot.
So, follow up. So, if it's not vacant, available, or anything therein, like you just said, and they go up and under current, they come back, what do you do with them if it's not there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kitts, some of those instances, as Representative Colvey indicated, maybe someone with much less experience, we may go through a layoff process. The agency may want the most experienced person and the most qualified physician, as you indicated. They may then make a decision to take that person back and go through a layoff process with someone who doesn't have that level of experience and can provide as much resource to the agency. Or they may choose to look at a different position that might be available to them to use. But to simply say you can go apply is not the case.
Mr. Chair, I respectfully disagree with what you're saying. If this person, I mean, you're chasing a circle here. If this person up here gets promoted and vacates this job, and let's say this person wants to come back and that vacancy is still there, let's go through that hypothetical. It doesn't guarantee their right to fill that vacancy, as right now they can come straight back to that vacancy, but they can apply for that vacancy or their old job or any other vacancy that may be out there if their old job is not available. This bill does not prohibit those folks from applying for a position. It just...
Mr. Chair, Representative Kitts,
right.
You're correct. An individual, anyone can apply for a state job through the application process. However, we do have situations, too, where jobs may be promotional within state government. You have to be a current state employee to actually apply. If you are removed from an executive service position and you're out of the system, then you can't apply for what might be a promotional job or another job within state government. You have to be part of the system in order to do that in some cases. So I'm just saying there are restrictions. You can't just automatically assume that an individual can go back and apply for their old job.
But if the promotion were held and that vacancy weren't there and there were other vacancies out there, like you're saying, for example, if that vacancy got filled, you got two options. They can either come back to that position currently, and if the person that's doing that position, if they left, is not as qualified, you can lay them off and find the position, or you can reassign them to another vacant position. That's what you're saying, right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kitts, I think where we are is saying in the private sector, if you have a corporation and you've got someone who's promoted up into a management position, you think the person is talented, but the corporation says, you know, this match isn't working. We need to find somewhere else for you to work in the agency or in the corporation. Then the corporation can look around and find something and put that person in there. We do not have that flexibility. If we are saying this isn't working and we're removing you, the individual leaves state service then. They then, as an individual, have to work through the system, apply, go to people, work through processes to get a different position. That may be fine and that may be philosophically where you want to go. I'm just saying that the flexibility for the state to be able to make sure we're not losing good resources who may get frustrated by having to go through unemployment time and whatever to try and get back to another job could be a problem for us.
Mr. Chair, final question, if I might.
One more question.
This is of Senator Deckert. Senator, Senate Bill 638, in its original form, that you're asking this committee to pass today. Passed the Senate 27-0. Am I correct in that?
That is correct.
And did DAS oppose the bill on the other side?
They did.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I offer one thought? And I do again apologize for bringing an issue that, but to me, and Ms. Wilson's point is exactly mine, actually, is that to bring this person back under the current system, and that's what totally doesn't make sense, and I think it's a misnomer to always think of these as promotion up, because the examples, all of which I know of, are none of this promotion up. It is moving around existing managers all at the same level and making work for them, creating employment where there's no need. And to me, that is because the agency's other alternative without this bill is to lay off someone they actually like. And that puts the agency in a very, very difficult position of either you lay someone off that you like and go through all that process of an employee you like, or you create a job for someone that you are just forced to take. And so to me, I do agree, it is somewhat philosophical, but that is my decision. If I leave a job and take a new job and it's not working out, but I have my former employer who still wants me, then I will go and reapply. And I know that's a hardship, and I know that's tough. But that's part of everyday life, that if I leave a job, I know that's the gamble that I'm taking, is that I may have to reapply or go out and look for new work.
I was with you here.
Representative Shields.
Thank you. Would the average time that if somebody wants to put in an application for the civil service, go work for state government, from the time they put in that application to the time they're actually hired, do you have any ballpark depending on, are we talking about 1 month? Or are we talking about usually 7 months? What are we talking about?
Mr. Chair, Representative Shields, first of all, we don't have a civil service system as such, so you don't apply for the civil service. You have to apply specifically for a particular job.
Right.
And so that's totally going to depend on the agency itself. First of all, the job has to be available and be open. They have to have authority to fill the position. I'd say we look at positions, we try to get them filled within 3 months. And Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, because I wasn't asked a question, I wasn't able to answer, so if I could,
okay.
The Dash 2 amendments do get us closer, I think, and we would be happy to go with the Dash 2 amendments, which at least allows the possibility of restoration. I realize we have a conflict in terms of opinion as to whether or not we're prohibited, but in my working with the Department of Justice attorneys, they fear that we will have some restrictions on us if that is completely gone. So I would support the Dash 2 amendments.
Representative Shoffler.
Thank you, Senator. I support the bill. I want to let you know that. But it kind of feels like that old dog I had who just seemed chasing his tail around. That's kind of where I feel like we're at. But isn't there a concept, Senator, wasn't there one of the senators over there that said, fire everybody and start all over? It's looking pretty good right now. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. That's all I had to say.
Representative Escobar.
Yes, on these Dash 2 amendments, you have been on this battlefield before over on the Senate side. Why didn't you come forth with something like this?
Mr. Chair, there was one hearing on the bill. We had some discussions. We knew that there was some different philosophical approaches. We waited to see what would happen with the bill.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Kitts.
I move to table the Dash 2 amendments.
Representative Kitts moves that we table the Dash 2 amendments. And there's no debate on the motion to table. Katie, call the roll.
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
No. Motion passes. The motion to adopt the Dash 2 amendments. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Katie, call the roll, please.
Representative
Kitts.
No.
Representative
Shockler.
Aye.
Representative
Escobar.
Aye.
Representative
Gelman.
No.
Representative
Colby. Aye.
Thank you.
Chair Brown. Aye. Motion carries. The Dash 2 are adopted.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Kitts.
I would move to postpone this bill to a date certain.
Representative Kitts moves to postpone this bill to a date certain. There's no discussion on the motion.
No, but only on the date, and the date would be the next committee meeting, whenever that may be.
In the 2007 session.
No, in the 05 session, Mr. Chair.
Okay, now here we get it with the...
Can I say something?
Certainly.
Well, I am okay. I mean, the dash 2 gets further down the line, and we always have the choice in the Senate to non-concur and actually have a conference over this. This isn't going to change the world, this bill, and so my preference would be to move the bill with the dash 2s. Everyone kind of wants the same environment, Mr. Chair, and so that gives us the ability. We can non-concur. We can just think about it for a week and live with a compromise that I know Representative Colby feels strongly about. And so I don't have a vote at all in any of this, but I am comfortable with moving the bill forward if that makes any difference at all.
Thank you for your comments, Senator. The motion is to postpone the bill to a date certain. Is there, and no, no discussion. Katie, call roll, please.
Representative Spockler.
No.
No.
Representative Espinosa.
Aye.
Representative Gilman.
Aye.
Oh, God.
No.
Aye.
Chair Brown.
No. Motion fails.
Mr. Chair, I move we stand at ease for the purpose of me talking to the chair in private.
Mr. Chair, I move.
I just had.
There's a motion on the table.
There's a motion on the table to stand at ease for a purpose.
No, there's a previous motion.
Huh?
The dash twos have been moved. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And so, is there a motion to stand at ease?
Point of order.
You guys are testing me. What's your point, Representative?
I don't know that the motion to stand at ease is in order.
Tony.
Then there's a motion on the table.
The chair can stand at ease at any time he wants if he so chooses to entertain the motion.
We'll stand at ease for a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Call to order the Business, Labor, and Consumer Affairs Committee, and we are in a work session, right, Jenna? And the dash twos have been adopted. The chair have been moved. Have we voted on it?
No.
Katie, will you call the roll on the dash adopting the dash two amendments?
They already did.
They passed.
Okay.
Yeah,
4-3. The chair will move that Senate Bill 638 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Katie, call the roll.
Aye.
Representative
Kitts.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. I have a carrier on the floor.
Oh, you're going to. Oh, okay.
And so that.
Another fight on the floor.
Mr. Chair, in fairness to Representative Holby, you want me to carry it since I got you in trouble last time.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the rules be suspended for the purpose of letting Representative Shoffler vote on the following bills. Senate Bill 670, 573, 618, 118,
386 and 1026, and House Bill 3462.
Did you get all those down yet? And Representative Kitts moves the rules be suspended to allow Representative Schaffler to vote on Senate Bill 670, Senate Bill 573, Senate Bill 618, House Bill 3462, Senate Bill 118, Senate Bill 386, and Senate Bill 1026. Representative Schaffler, is there any objection? Seeing none. So ordered. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote on Senate Bill 670?
Aye.
Representative Schaffler votes aye on Senate Bill 670, and it's on the consent calendar. Any objection?
Here.
No objection. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote on 573?
Aye.
Representative Schaffler votes aye on Senate Bill 573, and it's placed on the consent calendar.
No objection, Mr. Chairman.
No objection. How do you vote on Senate Bill 618?
Aye.
Representative Schaffler votes aye on Senate Bill 618. House Bill 3462, how do you vote on
that? No, Mr. Chair.
Representative Schaffler votes no on House Bill 3462. And that makes no difference on the bill, right? Senate Bill 118, how do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Schaffler votes aye on Senate Bill 118. Senate Bill 386?
Aye.
Representative Schaffler votes aye on Senate Bill 386 and on Senate Bill 1026?
Aye.
Representative Schaffler votes aye on Senate Bill 1026 and it's on the consent calendar. No objection.
Thank you,
Representative.
Thank you very much.
Anything else, Janet?
No.
With that, we are adjourned.